Good evening, everybody. I'm Tom Lounges. It's time for Midwest Beat, and tonight we are going to blues it up because, well, that's what we're all about. You see, coming up this Saturday, we've got a great little event coming up, and I shouldn't say little event. It's tucked away, and we're inviting you to join us to Spring Out at Sunset Hill Farm County Park. Last week, we had James Guetta and Jack Whittle in here, and they were talking about the event along with Walter Lankos from Porter County Parks Department. And we were telling you all about this great event. It starts at noon, goes till 4. There's all sorts of things going on, a beer garden, food vendors, animals for the kids, bouncy houses. It's a great family affair. And then at 4 o'clock, when that part ends, we're asking you to stroll maybe about 100 feet over in the grassy knoll, and you'll find the Red Barn stage. We're on that stage. We'll be featuring last week's guests, James and Jack, and they'll be opening the show for Mr. Joseph Mojo Morganfield and the Manish Boys. And Joseph is here in-house with us at Lakeshore. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We have been doing this a lot lately.
I'm pretty familiar with the studio.
You've been here a few times. We were over at our friend Rick's studio in Michigan City promoting this event and promoting your career. And you were recently on a very famous blues network station down in Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee. Blues Internet Radio International.
Yeah.
No, it's a national radio.
That's an internet station, correct?
Yes, it is. Over 186 countries.
Wow.
Some of the talent that came in that room was incredible.
Now, you were down there because that's where the official Blues Hall of Fame is located.
That is correct.
And you were personally invited to attend. You and Connie had some VIP tickets. You got to go on stage. You got to rub elbows with Bob Margolin. I'm just the fact that you hung with him is impressive.
Incredible. You know what? I knew Bob as a kid, though. So
didn't he give you lessons?
Yes, he did.
Because he was your dad.
One of my first guitar teachers.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. And for those that have been living under a rock for the last year or so and don't know, Joseph is the youngest son of Muddy Waters, the blues icon from Chicago, who is perhaps one of the most influential artists of all time, not just in the blues, but in the pop culture, because of the fact that he influenced so many rockers and pop stars and blues artists that have come down the pike. And you were actually there to pay tribute to your dad because one of his songs got inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame.
Yes, Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone. And that song, of course, as you might suspect, was the reason the Stones called themselves that.
That is correct, yes.
And the magazine called itself that. And everything's been rolling since.
Yeah, that song was actually recorded in 1950. So yeah. I was still a memory.
It was the second single ever released by Chess Records.
Exactly, yes.
And so. Mick Jagger said it was ground zero for the entire blues scene of England when John Mayall and the Stones and the Animals and Hendrix and everybody that was over there, even though Hendrix was American, he was over there around that time. But all these guys ignited the blues. Even Black Sabbath started as Earth. They were a blues band. Jethro Tull was a blues band. They all did it. Fleetwood Mac, Peter Green, everybody was playing the blues that Willie Dixon, Muddy Waters, John Lee Hooker, and all the greats brought over there.
Incredible.
From here. They sold it back to us. It was such a strange thing. We had this great American music. We took it to England, and as commerce would have it, they reinvented it a little bit, put their fingerprints on it, and brought it back home, and of course, the rest is history. But you were there because his song, Rolling Stone, was inducted, as it should be. It should have been in years ago, I think, because of the fact that it was such an influential song. So what was it like to be down there? We're going to play your dad's version, the original, in just a moment here. But tell me a little bit about what it was like to be invited and to be able to represent your father. You were still very young when he passed. You were in high school?
I was a senior in high school. So okay. That was in 1983. I was about to graduate. He died, what, April?
Right.
I graduated in June. So yeah.
Of 83.
83,
that's right. Yes. Because in 82, I remember he played Point East, and it wasn't long after that we got the news.
Oh, yeah.
So you were there, and tell us what happened.
It was like, I can't even describe it, you know, seeing Bob Margolin again. Mm-hmm. I see him from time to time, but for that occasion itself, you know, this is the history between him and my dad, him and I. We called it full circle.
Right. Yeah. Now, how long was he with your dad?
I want to say about 10 years.
So the last part of his career, he was like the force of the band.
Exactly, yes. That's what Bob Magoli, Willie Big Ass Smith, Calvin Jones, Luther Guitar Jr., Pine Tops. That was like the, when I came on, that was his band. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He was quite a crew.
Local legend out here living in LaPorte and used to hang out and play that Barrel House piano.
Pine Top Perkins, baby.
What a legend he was, too. Gosh. You're playing in Mannish Boys. One of your band members used to play with your dad, too, correct?
Yes, that was the second part. Once that first group left, the second guys came in. That was John Primer and Rick Kraher.
Okay.
So those guys are also playing with Muddy. And Rick's actually a guy who's in my band, though.
So we're going to get to see him on Saturday.
He will be there Saturday.
That's excellent. So they had you in the audience. They're doing the inductions. It comes time to induct Rolling Stone. You start going towards the stage. What's going through your head? Did you know what you were going to say?
No, you know what? I wrote some things out and...
I don't know if you get my little notes, but I sent you some notes.
Yes.
It wound up becoming my Times column a little bit there. That's why I knew it was 1950 second single. I did some research. But
I decided, I was told, just speak from my heart. So
okay.
I put those notes away. One, I seen Bob, and actually Bob spoke before me. It was easy to just... follow that, yeah.
I saw Connie had shot some pictures of the two of you at the podium.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was very cool.
He actually stood on the podium because he was so short. So that picture was because he was like really short. He really couldn't see me.
Wow. For those that aren't familiar with this classic song, we're going to play it now. We're going to take you back to 1950. The second single on Chess Records, a label that, they influenced the world. And we're going to play it now. This is Rolling Stone, Muddy Waters.
Well, I wish I was a catfish swimming in a deep blue sea. I would have all you good-looking women fishing after me, showing up after me. Showing up after me. Oh, love. Oh, love. Showing up. I went to my baby's house and I sat down on her step. Come on in now, buddy, you know my husband just now left. Showing up and just now left. Showing up and just now left. Oh, Lord. Oh, well. Oh, well. Well, my mother just before I was born, I got a boy child coming, gonna be a rolling stone. Sure enough, he's a rolling stone. Sure enough, he's a rolling stone. Oh, well, he's a. Oh, well, he's a. Oh, well, he's a.
Muddy Waters, 1950, one of the songs that influenced Keith and Mick to form their little group that has become the world's greatest rock and roll band, so they say, the Rolling Stones. But they definitely got the name from the song. And Jan Wenner, when he started printing Rolling Stone magazine, couldn't think of a better name as well. So two iconic brands, if you will, in the music business, all started with that little song out of Chicago. A guy that worked as a cotton picker back in the day in Mississippi.
Yes, sir.
Came up here, worked in the mills, and became a legend.
He even told me once he was a DJ on the radio.
You know, a lot of blues guys did that. Rufus Thomas did that. B.B. King did that. A lot of those guys used to start doing the blues because, you know, nobody would play their records.
And so people would call in because he kept talking doing the record. So
say, shut up there, Mud. Now, I always wanted to know, and I don't think we've covered this in the past. Of course, his given name was McKinley Morganfield. You are Joseph Morganfield.
That's correct.
Where did the name Muddy Waters come from? Is it because of the Mississippi River and the fact he was from Mississippi? Or I never understood the real gist of where that name came from.
Actually, his grandmama, who raised him, would call him Mud. She got him at the age of 3, and he used to play in his creek.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, they just called him Muddy. So that was his nickname. She called him, the family called him Muddy.
Wow.
Because as a baby, he would play in the mud all the time, and it stuck. So the Waters were added later, but at first it was just Muddy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, Saturday, again, you're going to be at the Spring Out at Sunset Hill Farm County Park. This is, for those that aren't familiar with this venue, it's on Route 6 in Valparaiso. Easy to find. You look for the biggest piece of beautiful land you can find, and you just follow it in. And it's a natural amphitheater. That's what's unique about this.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
The way the rolling hills and the grass, and it's just this natural place. It's like a mini Ravinia.
Exactly.
So the sound is pristine there. They've got the Red Barn stage. It was a working farm for years. So when they built the stage, they created this Red Barn, and it's just a very cool place. And last year, we were all there hanging out. We went to see the Almond Betts group, who was playing there at the end of the year. And, of course, they were big fans of your dad because the Allman Brothers were very influenced by Muddy and Chess.
So it
was cool. You got to hang with them, take pictures. And along the way, we met Walter, who is with the Parks Department, who said, maybe we'll get Mojo to play. And it's like, yeah, we could do that because right at that time, your EP was getting ready to come out.
That is correct. It was like perfect timing.
I think it was out yet, was it?
No, it didn't come out until, what, late August?
Yeah, and this was right in the beginning of August.
Exactly.
So push comes to shove. We stayed in contact, and now here you are headlining this.
That's your work, Tom. That's all you, baby.
Now, you have a new album, the EP, which we have here. And, of course, it's you'll have some at the show, correct?
That is correct.
So it's a four-song EP. And Rick plays on this, who
Rick's
also played with
songs.
Your name,
exactly.
Or your dad. But you have a full album coming out. And are we still looking end of summer, beginning of fall?
That is correct. We want to get it out definitely before October. That's the deadline.
Okay.
So late August, early September.
Now, the EP is Mojo Rising. What is the album title? Have you got it yet?
No, it's still in the works.
Okay. How many tracks do you think will be on there?
We should add, all originals, at least 13, 14 tracks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you gonna include Get No Grindin', which was your dad's song?
Oh yeah, that's staying on there.
Okay, that has got to be a fan favorite. That was
either that one or
one.
Sweet Man. I get a lot of compliments about Sweet Man.
Okay,
yeah,
so all four of these will be on there, plus another 9 or 10 originals.
That is correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
So have you been busy working on the originals with the songwriters?
Yes.
Are you collaborating?
The music that comes in every day. We just weaned them out. My producer and myself, Connie helps. But we pretty much, if it's a good fit, we use it. If not, we just keep looking. So pretty much I'm down. I just need two more songs.
How much recording is done and is in the can at this point?
Right now, we're still in the beginning stage of just rehearsing the songs with the band.
Okay.
Yeah, once we get the songs down, once the band get the music, then we just go in there and knock it out then.
So unlike a lot of the old days, you're actually going to take your band, your touring band, your working band in the studio to record. There's no session guys sitting in.
No. I use my own guys. I might have some special guests, but for the most part, I use my guys. We know each other. We're familiar. I think they're excellent musicians,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I'm going to use.
Now, I'm not going to ask you to reveal your special guest, but I'm thinking that there's got to be some connection to chess tied in there, maybe.
Steady rolling, baby.
I was going to say that would be great to hear him play, and I don't know if Alex Dixon might be able to come up and do something. It'd be great.
I just talked to Alex too.
Did you?
Like 2 weeks ago. Yes.
Of course, that's Willie Dixon's grandson. Willie was the bass player on a lot of your dad's records, the producer. His thumbprints were everywhere.
Everywhere. He did it all.
He was the big man.
Opened the place, closed it down, turned the lights.
Wow. Well, one of the songs that I think is going to be on there, is it the new single that we're going to play? Is that going to be on there?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
As far as on the CD, mm-hmm. I'm not sure yet.
Okay. But it is being released, or is it released?
It's released. It's out now.
Okay.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Harold Stewart, he wrote the song in regards to my dad. And he wrote it for me. We talked for about a year before we actually did it.
So is Harold Stewart, he is playing on this. This is his single with you guesting.
Exactly. I'm featured, yeah.
Is it just a single or is it on his album? Is he putting an album out?
I think it's on his album, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you recorded this in Ohio?
No, we recorded it here where I did my EP.
Okay, yeah. But he's from Ohio.
He's from Ohio, yeah. He came to Chicago.
Okay, so yes. How can people get this? Is it available to download from your website?
You can go CD Baby. It's on all the any type of the internet, iTunes, CD Baby. So it's pretty easy to find, though.
All right. Yeah. We were going to debut it on Rick's show, and I said, ain't no way that's happening. If we're going to debut this on radio somewhere, it's going to be right here on Midwest Beat. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen up. This is Mr. Stewart and Mr. Morganfield teaming up in the studio. Is it Manish Boy or Boys?
The new Manish Boys.
The new Manish Boys. All right, let's play it. New single, Joseph Morganfield.
Have you heard the news? It's the next generation. Oh, Muddy's Blues. The Manish Boy, he had a son. Where he left off is where I begun. It's in my blood, it's in my soul. These old blues still rock and roll. To say the blues.
On the Mississippi, near Rolling Fork, out to Jug's Corner, flew that storm. His grandmama raised him from the age of three, and Tubbles Farm.
Sing the
Still going strong, so we gotta sing this song. We're the new circle with a new blues sound.
That old mud water still flowing strong, so we got to sing this song. With the new man's voice, know what to do, and we sure love to sing the blues.
Thank you, buddy. Look at here.
Spanish Boys. that is the new single from Harold Stewart and the Blues Hounds. I like that name.
That's a cool name, isn't
it? Harold Stewart and the Blues Hounds. He's got a bad guitar there, too. I'm looking at the cover of his CD here. Harold's out of Ohio. You guys met about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
About a year, yeah.
He wrote this song in tribute to your dad. Did he have you in mind when he wrote it?
He did. He actually wrote this song for me in honor of my father. He wanted to sing it together. So
very cool.
Seen the lyrics, looked at it. It sounded great, so how could I refuse?
So he brought his whole entourage here to Chicago to record with you and rather than send you to Ohio.
Actually, no. The tracks was done.
The tracks were done there.
And we went to where I did my EP, and we went there and knocked it out.
Wow. And it's available now as of when? Last week? 2 weeks?
Actually, April 30th.
April 30th.
That's when my dad died, the 30th. So we have,
that's right.
Yeah, so we did it on the 30th.
Now, you can get it through your website as well?
My website, Harold's website, CD Baby, iTunes, it's out there on the internet.
And it's josephmojomorganfield.com.
Mojo Morganfield. josephmojomorganfield.com.
All right. Again, you've got a lot of different things going on here. You just got back from Memphis where they inducted Rolling Stone in. Now, while you were there, how long did you stay there? You were talking about coming back early because originally we were thinking of having you on Friday, but I think you stayed because you did the radio show and some other stuff, correct?
Yes, we stayed. Bob McGolden asked me to do their radio thing with the Blues International, so I could, you know, how can I say no to Bob?
Right.
So we did that, and we decided, and just the people, the chemistry, the energy, it was just incredible. Yeah.
How many people were at this induction ceremony?
I would say a couple hundred.
Okay.
If that, yeah. Well, actually, the BMA awards was more people there.
Wow.
Yeah, but for the Hall of Fame part. But that's just the energy there, you know. I'm talking to Kenzie, and I'm talking to Bobby Rush and Shamika Copeland, and just all this talent in one room was incredible.
And a lot of them are from Chicago. I don't know if Bobby's here anymore. I know he plays here a lot.
I don't think he lives here.
He's still down south.
But Taranzo was there, and Wayne Baker. I mean, Ronnie Baker Brooks. So, you know, all these Chicago.
I haven't seen Ronnie in years. I see Wayne. Wayne was in that seat not too long ago, but I haven't seen Ronnie. How's he doing?
He's good. He's good. He didn't actually win the award, but you know, he was nominated.
I think we talked about this once before, that we should get the progeny of royalty together. We should have the Brooks boys. We should have the Morganfield boys. We should have the Kenzie boys. And we should get them together.
That
and Shamika, obviously Johnny Copeland, her
exactly,
dad.
Yes.
Get the second generation together and do something. Even if it's a charity single like a We Are the World type thing, and just get all these great blues second generation folks out there and record something.
They tried that a year ago, but it wasn't a recording. It was a concert. Sons and Daughters of the Blues.
Okay.
And it was for PCA Blue for prostate cancer awareness.
And how did that go? I didn't even hear about that.
That was actually at Buddy Guy's about a year ago. It went pretty good. Buddy Guy's, the guys were there, the Taylors, the Morganfields, the Brooks. I'm missing anybody. The Dixons, so we all came out and represented.
Connie, did you shoot that? I would love to see some of those pictures, even if I can't share them, but I would love to see them just because of the who's who that was there.
Oh, yeah.
So, did you get to go up and sing?
I did two songs. I sure did. I did Managed Boy and I did Mojo Working.
All right. Now, did you get to play with your brothers there?
No, I was only the one representing Muddy that particular night. Yes.
All right. Well, they're not from here anymore.
Now, my oldest brother, Mud, is from Chicago.
Okay.
But the middle brother, Big Bill's in Atlanta.
Okay. I always thought Big Bill was the oldest.
No, he's the middle boy.
Okay. All right. So you did get a chance to play with them not too long ago, the three of you, correct? You went down somewhere?
For the mural. That was correct.
For the mural.
Yes.
That's
mural.
What it was.
That's in State Street, Chicago.
Now, what was that like for you to be invited to go down and you see your dad like 20 stories high? It's like, you know, when you're a little kid, you look up at your folks and they always seem gigantic. But to actually look up and see a 20-story Muddy.
I was just honored, you know. People still paying tribute to him after all these years. His music, his legacy, you know, it lives. It's mm-hmm. alive. And him being responsible for Chicago Blues, I thought it was appropriate.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, you play at Buddy Guy's from time to time. You make appearances
that
there.
That is correct.
And you
yes.
know Buddy pretty well.
That is correct.
Have you heard some stories now that you're an adult and the dad's gone and you were too young to know some of the things that probably went on? Are you hearing a lot of those stories, getting to rub elbows with these other guys?
Not so much
knew?
With Buddy, but with other people, yes.
Like
yes.
Bob?
Oh, especially Bob. Yeah, God. When I was a kid, my dad would let me travel with the band if it was local and if it's summer. If it did end it for school.
Uh-huh.
So I'm riding in the van with these guys, and some of the stories, this is incredible.
Wow. Now, how long has your band been together, the Mannish Boys? And I must say, the single is Mannish Boys with an S, but you have added the Z to the boys.
Yes.
So it's boys.
Boys. We're always buzzing.
There you go. How long has this band been together?
When I first started this journey, believe me, the personnel changed.
Okay.
Yeah, but for the most part, about a year and a half, 2 years.
And Rick's been with you since the beginning. And again, Rick played with your dad.
Yes, Rick played with my father. Rick's on the CD. Rick is an important part of this band.
What have you learned about your dad's maybe performance style or whatever from working with Rick and then talking also to Bob since you've known him your whole life? What tips did they give you so that you maybe have a little more Muddy style in your show?
Just to relax, not force the words, the songs, and pretty much pitch. I don't have to go high. This is blues. I can keep it low and still sound good.
Okay. Now, I got to say, we're going to play your EP, and this was only out less than a year.
That is correct.
Compared to the version we just heard of Mannish Boys, the new single with Harold Stewart and the Blues Hounds. Your style seems to have evolved already in 6-7 months.
That's a lot of practicing at home.
But, I mean, the EP was impressive. And now the new single. We're going to go back to the EP. And, again, this is these are songs that will be appearing on the full-length album. What song would you like to play?
Sun Broke Down. Can't Get No Grind.
All right. Can't Get No Grinding. What's the Matter with the Meal? That is an old Muddy song.
Oh, yes. It's a story behind that song.
Okay, tell
also.
Us that story before we play.
Really quick. Third grade, that was my... Where you bring a project?
Oh,
to
show
school.
And tell.
Show and tell. Yes,
okay.
Yes. So I brought one of my dad's 45s in, and we played "Can't Get No Grind"
in the classroom.
In the classroom.
And how old were you?
What, 8 to 9? I think
okay.
It's more fifth grade, not third. Excuse me.
Did grade. You wonder why the teacher fainted?
She did give me a look, but we didn't really understand the exact words or what they meant.
Uh huh.
We just liked the beat of it and the groove of it. So,
how impressed were kids that your dad was making records back then? Do you remember what but, that?
Not, grade school, not at all. They actually, including myself, didn't really realize until high school.
Okay.
When Eric Clapton would come over or Johnny Winters would stop by. That's when we're like, hey, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. Wow. Well, this is your treatment of your dad's classic, Can't Get No Grinding.
In a sack. I can't eat to the meal, had the brain right back. What's the matter with the meal?
Broke down.
What's the matter with the meal?
Broke down.
Can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal? Some people said that a preacher won't steal. I caught one in my cornfield. What's the matter with the meal?
Broke down.
What's the matter with the meal? I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal? Fine reason.
show, and one had a pet. The other one had the corn keel around his neck. What's the matter with the mill? What's the matter with the mill? I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the mill. Dad, a preacher won't steal. I caught one in my cornfield. What's the matter with the mill?
It broke down.
What's the matter with the mill?
It broke down.
I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the mill. What's the matter with the meal?
Doing a little grinding on a Tuesday evening here in Merrillville, Indiana. Good stuff. Joseph Mojo Morganfield, the Mannish Boys with a Z. And you can see them again this Saturday. They'll be headlining the Spring Out to Sunset Festival. It's the first official fest of the spring-summer season, and it's in its third or fourth year now. We want to thank Walter Lenkos and the folks at Porter County Parks and Recreation Department for putting this event on. And again, it's a bargain because you can get there from 12 to 4. It's $5 for an entire vehicle full, whether it's a VW bus or a regular bus or a motorcycle, whatever, however many people you can fit on it. Stuff them in the trunks, strap them to the hood, and it's $5 to get there from 12 to 4. And that includes the petting zoo. There's a beer garden, food vendors, bouncy houses, lots of different things going on for families. And then it's a couple dollars more to just stroll on over and enter the concert facility, which of course is open to all ages. Leroy's Hot Stuff is going to be there. Berkey's Barbecue is going to be there. There's just so much going on. There will be a beer garden. And, of course, there will be great live entertainment. James Guetta, Jack Whittle will be opening things up with their Americana blues hybrid kind of show. And then Mojo and the Mannish Boys will be taking over. And all of them will have merchandise and CDs to sell. So be sure to be there. And it's kind of cool because we found out last week with Walter when you were guesting over at the other place.
The other place.
That they have set up a special green room, except it's not a green room. It's a greenhouse. Yes. They're giving you a farmhouse to kind of like chill in, you and the band.
Ooh, I get the MVP treatment. Huh?
You do. And all the barbecue we're gonna have. They're gonna be doing a lot of barbecuing over there for the green room folks.
Well, my band's excited. I told them we're getting the VIP section. So
I don't know if they're gonna do pulled pork, chicken, ribs. I don't know what they're gonna have, but it's gonna be good.
Doesn't matter.
You can get all the information on this event and get tickets if you wish at www.portercountyparks.org and then /spring concert. So portercountyparks.org, go there. I'm sure you can find it, but it is at spring concert. Now, in addition, this is your first really big gig here in Chicagoland this summer season, this spring
that
season.
That is correct.
But you have a lot of dates coming up, and I'm going to run them past real quick here. starting in June 7th, you will be a part of the Big Chicago Blues Festival at Millennium Park.
So my first time as my solo artist, so I'm excited. Yeah.
You and the band will be there. Do you know what time you're going on yet?
It's that Friday, June 7th, 3:30 to 4:30, Front Porch Stage.
All right. And prior to that, you guys will be warming up for everybody to see on WGN-TV.
That is correct. We got the call today.
So. That's very cool. That is a big deal.
We are excited, so we would definitely be ready.
Yeah. To play the Chicago Blues Festival in Chicago.
Yes.
Being a Morgan Field, that has got to have some really strong impact on you.
It does. You know, my dad, I remember as a kid, my dad would play the Chicago Blues Fest at Navy Pier.
Right.
And just...
I saw him at Chicago
Fest.
Did you
really? Yeah. Yes, yes.
Him and Chuck Berry both played there.
I used to go there every summer with him, so
wow.
I was there. But to go up there for myself, my brothers have been there, now it's me, and I'm excited.
Uh-huh. Yes. So that is June 7th. Again, mark your calendars, folks. Friday, June 7th, about 3:30, Chicago Blues Fest. I know a lot of you attend that every year. Make sure you get there on Fridays the 7th and get there early. And don't forget, it's at Millennium Park. It is no longer at Grant Park, so some folks make that mistake.
Yep.
Not naming any names or pointing any fingers. But we do want to remind everyone that it is over there, because I even thought it was in Grant Park. I honestly did until now, because you corrected me. But that's just the first of many dates. We've also got July 4th. You will be doing Independence Day in Highland, Indiana as the headliner.
Ooh, is that the one we got rained out last year?
That is the one. Don't
blow,
say
wind,
that.
Blow.
We're also flying in a mutual friend, Bridgette Purdy, will yes. be there, and she'll be working with some of your band guys.
Yes, I told my guys we're going to back her up, and she's going to be good. Yes.
So that's going to be great. She's going to be opening right before your set, and you will close out. And again, that's July 4th, so celebrate Independence Day with the Blues in Highland, and get there early to see Bridgette coming in from Los Angeles. And July 13th, you will be at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks, Michigan.
Ooh.
With Stephanie Daisy opening up. Stephanie is a keyboard gal that has this Joplin-esque kind of voice, and I'm yes. looking forward to seeing a full set with her. She's out of South Bend, and you, of course, out of Chicago by way of Crown Point these days. And it's going to be a great show. First time at the Acorn, too.
Yes, it is. Another one I'm looking forward to. I've never played that venue. I'm looking forward. I heard it was a very nice place to play also.
It definitely is. And then let's see. We've got you August 14th at the Crown Point Bulldog Park, a brand new facility that they are literally still building as we speak. It should be done in a couple of weeks, hopefully. And you'll be there in August, so it'll definitely be done by
hopefully
then.
Hopefully the paint will be dry.
Yeah, it'll be done by then. And then you've got Slippery Noodle in Indianapolis.
Yes,
when is that all
that's
about?
That's the 14th. That's actually our second appearance there.
Okay, it was yes. 14th of...
August. Yes.
No, that's Crown Point.
No, when is Slippery Noodle? 17th. Excuse me.
17th.
Yes, yes. August 17th.
Okay. I was say, how are you? I know you're good.
But
I'm
cloned.
You can't be in two places, man. So those are like the highlight shows. And I know there's going to be some more in between. There's a few other shows that I'm aware of that are pending that we can't really announce now. But those are all solid. Those are all solid contracted shows.
And that is correct.
Is the band excited?
Yeah. You know, we're starting to get a little bit busier, getting more exposure. So we're just ready to get this going, get it rolling full steam.
Now, when I first met you, Connie brought you by, and you were talking about working on a book, and you were just kind of finding yourself as a performer.
That is correct.
You really didn't have a full band or anything yet. You had guested on a few stages here and there. That wasn't that long ago. That was like less than 2 years, maybe. Maybe 2 years.
About 2 years, yes.
And you've come a long way.
You gave me another 2 years.
In a very short time. Are you surprised by how fast things are moving and how welcomed you have been into the blues world and the general public? They're loving you. And when I see you walking through a crowd, like at the Almond Bett show, people come up. They're like, hey, we loved your dad. We can't wait
exactly.
to see you perform. You are a celebrity, and you're just getting started. I mean, it could get crazy.
You know, Dad, he's not here now, but he made it possible for this journey. Some doors have been opened just because of his name.
Mm-hmm.
Even that being said, you still got to come and perform.
Right.
You can't live off Muddy's name. Good that it opened doors, but you still got to go out there and you got to do you. You got to perform.
How has the response been in the blues community? Now, the blues artists that we've mentioned already that you have worked with and met and know, they've all got their game on. And now you're coming up and you're stepping into that arena with them. What kind of response have you gotten to the EP, your first EP?
For the most part, very positive. Right on target. Keep doing what I'm doing. A lot of encouragement. A little resistance, some people, maybe because of the speed of this.
Okay.
But for the most part, it's been positive.
Now, you've also made some fast fans with some famous folks. the Betts Allman guys. Greg Allman's son, Dickie Betts' son.
That was great meeting.
They were out, and as soon as they found out you were on the grounds, they sent out their little helpers and says, pull him back here, pull him back here. And I just hung on to your coattails there. And I'm like, I'm going back too. But you also got to meet Paul Rodgers. You got to meet Jeff Beck. You got to meet Deborah Bonham, John Bonham from Led Zeppelin's sister, Jason's aunt. And all of them have welcomed you with open arms because of the DNA, because of the legacy, and because of the fact that you are accessible, and you look an awful lot like your dad.
I keep hearing that.
You know, there's certain pictures, and Connie has captured some certain pictures with her lens, where if you put your dad and you next to each other, you definitely, there's no doubt, you almost look like him when he was young.
I don't need a DNA test, huh?
Yeah, you don't need that DNA test. Like your poster says, a true Chicago Blues with the DNA to prove it. But you've got you've been blessed.
Thank you, and I have. It was just growing up with Muddy's been a blessing. Even as a kid, I've met famous people. You know, as far as the Stones and Eric Clapton, I can go on and on. Most of the blues artists is Buddy Guy, B.B. King. I had the pleasure and privilege of meeting all those guys. So, I just take it in stride. I'll keep it humble. I know what I want to do. I'm focused, and I'm going to do it.
Your dad was humble. And I think I told that before. Yes. I only met him briefly. We booked him at Point East, and I snuck back. Well, I didn't sneak. It was my backstage. But I went backstage, and he was sitting there on the break, and we talked. And he was so welcoming and
very
so kind.
Yes.
And shaking his hand, and he goes, sit down, let's talk for a moment. Until Scott Cameron, his manager, came in and threw me out of our own dressing room. But
that's another story.
That was okay, because I got to shake his hand. I got to talk with him and realize that he was such a down-to-earth guy. And it's nice that you are carrying that part of the legacy on as well.
You know what? He taught us, you know, it's music. He appreciate the fan support, but don't ever think you're better than anybody.
Still put your pants down one leg at a time.
One leg at a time.
All right. Very good. Another song that you recorded on your EP, again, Mojo Rising. It's out there now all over the internet. If you want a physical copy, you can pick them up this weekend and at all the shows. You can also get them at the Record Bin. We're out right now, but we'll have them back by the weekend. Let's play the opening track. And again, this is an original new song, and it's an homage to the Chess Records days.
That is correct. Most of the guys who recorded that, this is written for those guys. The Muddy Waters, Holland Wolf, Etta James, all the guys who recorded there, the original guys.
All right, let's do it. Let's play chess.
You're feeling blue. You're looking down. Well, we're gonna rock away that frown. Baby, let's play chess. Oh, let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. They gave the blues Chicago soul, taught the world to rock and roll. Otis Rush and Otis Band, Maybelline and I'm a Man. Baby, let's play chess. Oh, let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. Coco comes to fuss and fight. Jimmy Rogers say that's alright. The Manish Boy, the Seven Son, Howlin' Wolf, and I ain't done. Baby, let's play chess. Oh, let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess.
Thank you.
on the killing floor. Little Walter, sonny boy, meet you at 21-20, boy. Baby, let's play chess. Let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. Baby, let's play chess. Oh, let's play chess. I wanna play with you. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. Baby, let's play chess.
Baby, let's play chess. That is an original new tune on the debut EP, Mojo Rising, opening track. And the world was playing chess. Chess oh, yeah. Records back in the late 50s, actually the 50s, starting with that Rolling Stones song in 1950, on through to the mid-60s. At least it was one of the most influential labels of all time.
Yes, it was.
Right up there with VJ, Sun Records, and Motown. I mean, those were the ones that really... each had their own niche in impacting and influencing so many artists. And, of course, there was a few others down south as well. But Chess Records, 2124, Michigan Avenue.
Michigan Avenue.
We talked about the Stones taking their name from Rolling Stone. They also did a song called that.
2120.
2120.
Yeah, yes, yes. And that song was written by Terry Abersom and Derek Purcell. So they wrote that for me. And Terry actually wrote for my father.
Okay.
Who actually wrote the, you remember the Unk and the Funk?
Oh, okay.
Terry wrote that and my dad won a Grammy with it. So it's good.
And as he's working on a new album too with you.
Yes, yes. So I surrounded myself with guys with experience. My producer, Michael Freeman, is a Grammy winner. Terry, Grammy winner. So we got some good people on the team. So
is Chess still a working studio at all? I know Blues Heaven is based out of there.
That
I believe.
Is correct. No.
Is there any studio?
I think they're rebuilding it to get it back running.
Because I remember for a while Willie took it over and it became Jerram Studios.
Right.
And
right.
I remember going to the grand opening and the chess pieces were embedded in the wall, and that's where I got to actually spend some time with him. But it'd be nice to see that place, you know, refurbished again as a studio. Yes. And to see you record maybe
that
your second album.
That would be
album.
Magical, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be very
there?
Cool?
God, I can only wish.
Wow. Okay, once again, Joseph Mojo Morganfield and the Manish Boys performing this Saturday at Spring Out Sunset, which is at the Sunset Hill Farm County Park in Valparaiso. Showtime is early. James and Jack are going on at 4 o'clock. Mojo and the guys will be going on right around 5 o'clock. So get there early. Get there at noon. Spend the day with your family and enjoy it. There's going to be lots of food, a beer garden, and it's the most beautiful place. Acres and acres and acres of beautiful facility there to just explore and bring your blankets, bring your chairs. Just don't bring any food or alcohol, because that, of course, is the job of the vendors. But you can bring water, and there will be water stations there. If you bring empty jugs, they'll fill them up for you. Lots of stuff going on, and, of course, you'll find us hanging out in the greenhouse,
ooh,
the green room with all the barbecue. But catch them there, and also, again, some dates. June 7th, write it down right now. Wait for you to get the pencil. There you go. June 7th, Friday. Chicago Blues Fest, Millennium Park, and tune in early, WGN-TV. They'll be performing two or three songs on there. What time is that?
That starts at 9 o'clock, 9 a.m.
9 a.m., and then follow them over to the Blues Fest. Also, July 4th in Highland Fest, Main Square Park, the gazebo there with Bridget Purdy. She will be flying in from L.A. and playing with the Manish Boys. July 13th at the Acorn Theater with Stephanie Daisy in Three Oaks, Michigan, an incredible place, wine country. And
wait a minute. Yeah. July 14th, Taste of Westmont.
Taste of your hometown?
That's my hometown. We can't
all
forget
right.
those guys.
July 14th, Taste of Westmont.
And Johnny Blitz that evening. So we got two gigs that night.
And August 14th in Crown Point at the Bulldog. And then the Slippery Noodle on August 17th in Indianapolis. So
can you say that again, Tom? Slippery
Noodle.
Oh, Noodle. Okay.
Keep up with all the dates and with all the progress at josephmojomorganfield.com. You can also find him on Facebook. And let's close out with a little bit of Muddy. This is Muddy, Johnny Copeland, and Johnny Winter. Thank you, Mojo, for coming
out. Thank you, Tom. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Just don't work on you. Got my mojo working, but just don't work on you. So bad to lie, don't know what to do. Got a gypsy woman giving me advice. Got a gypsy woman giving me.
Giving me advice. I got a whole